Amanda Tanner, thank you for that special moment. That was truly wonderful. Before we read scripture, I want to ask you to do something a little different, if I may. Would you just look around? Just look around at the people around you. Seriously, look around at the faces of those sitting around you. Take a good look. Good long look at your brothers and sisters who are here. Hold that. Our scripture today comes to us from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, starting with verse 29 through chapter 12, and I'm going to extend it to verse 3, and I'm going to be using the Message translation. The words are going to be on the screen. I invite you to listen as we hear the ancient words of our faith. Let us listen with our hearts as well as our ears. By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab the Jericho harlot welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrust, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives or faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one complete whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers were blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God, where you find yourselves flagging in faith. Go on, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to join me around the throne of grace as we pray. Holy, gracious God of glory and God of mercy, be present in this moment. Fill our hearts with your light. Fill us with love. Speak a word to us that will ignite in us fervor to follow you, fervor to live lives that will bring people to you, fervor to be disciplined in our relationship with you. Help us, O God, this day to open ourselves anew and afresh to your grace. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For we, your children, are listening. Amen. What did you notice when I asked you to look around? Did you notice the same old faces and the same old pews? I dare would ask you to get up and change pews for fear of mutiny. And when I read the scripture, were you able to not only hear those names of the past of Gideon and David, but were you able to see the faces around you in this long, long list of story of faith and journey? Did you notice that we are all a long line in the history of God's people? Did you notice that? Did you notice that we are not isolated? Did you hear and see within the Holy Writ yourself? Could you hear your name on that list? Let's look at that list. You see, on that list are some names that are there, as one commentator I read said, not with an eye for an audience. In other words, they live their lives of faith not so as to be an example. That's not how they live their life. They live their lives of faith to be a life of faith. And because they live their life out of faith, they were examples. Does that make sense? They didn't go out, set out to be showy. They didn't go out to be an example. They were an example because they lived the life of faith. Their faith was foundational to their lives. Their faith was the bedrock of their lives. Because of their faith guided their decisions, gave course to their lives. Their faith helped them make their decisions. And yes, their lives were rocky. You have David, who was at one moment brilliant and marvelous and faithful, and at another moment, a scoundrel. You have moments of fear of Gideon, the smallest in his tribe, who yet became the greatest. You see, faith mattered in these folks' lives. And the relationship they had with the Almighty was evident. The discipleship in their lives was evident. The discipline of their lives was very evident. You see, they are in that long list that shows us that life of faith has twists and turns and ups and downs. And I find comfort in that, and that my life does not have to be perfect. And my faith doesn't always have to be mountaintop, but it can be full of valleys as well, in times of start and stop, in times of movement, in times of regression. In that list, I find comfort. I also see that in this list, in this long list, I find that we are not alone in this salvation story, that we have a long, long story of God being faithful to God's people, and God has always been faithful, and God will always be faithful, that we stand on the shoulders of these folks, and that here is where I find it's humbling. It's that there are generations to come who will stand on our shoulders. And that catches my breath to think that future generations are waiting to stand on our shoulders at our faith stories. We are building this foundation brick by brick. And that is our call as Christian witnesses, to be a part of this long line, that our names could be written in this story. And because of that, we are a community who must live our lives demonstrating that we know a God who is there for us. We know this God who is true to who this God is for us, this God of this love story that we call the Holy Writ in the Holy Scriptures. And that we say with those of long past and recent past and the past of here at Rehoboth that we know this God to be trustworthy. And that's what we find within the scriptures that we have here, that this God is a God of trust. And we see that part of our problem with trust is that the locus of our trust needs to be adjusted. Too often, we put our trust in things that we do, things that we build, in the political systems and the governments that we create, in the relationships that we build, in the materials that we surround ourselves with. It's kind of an inward focus of our trust or inward location of our trust. Oh, if we could just have one more thing, or if we could build one more army, or if we could gather one more system around us, then we would feel safe and secure. But what the writer is telling us is that God is faithful. God should be the locus of our trust, for God has been with us. Earlier in Hebrews 10:23, it's this wonderful verse that says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." God has never broken God's word to us. God has kept the covenant from the time of beginning, and God will always keep the covenant. The problem is us. We're the ones who have walked away from the promises. We're the ones who have turned our back on the covenant. But God has promised to be with us, to love us, to extend grace to us, and God will never, ever break that covenant. God has proven it time and time again in this story. That you can take to the bank. That will get you through the long, dark night. That will be there when the joy and dancing comes, is that God is faithful. Period. Underline, bold it, put it in capital letters, wear it on a t-shirt, whatever it is you need to do. God is faithful. That's where our trust needs to be. That we can put down as part of our right foundation. And because of our foundation of faith and our trust, our locus is in God, then we can endure. Then the writer changes and tells us, now we can run the race. And the writer tells us what we need to do in order to run the race is we need to become unencumbered. Peterson says, strip down. Now, this is where he goes to meddling in our lives. What the writer is encouraging us to do is to take away all those things that is preventing us from running the race and running the race fast. We need to let go of everything that will hinder us from finishing the race. You know the phrase, habits, hang-ups, you know those things that prevent us from seeing clearly the truth of Christ. You know all those emotional things that prevent us from being fully in love with God, being fully obedient to God's call on our lives. All those things, power, okay, control issues. Am I stepping on some toes now? You know, those ways in which you want what you want when you want it, you know, you want things to go your way. All those things that are keeping us from running the race, strip it down, is what the writer is saying. Let go of it. Keep your eyes on the prize, is another way that is written in Scripture. And to have a singular focus, to turn your eyes away from everything but to the one who came to show us how to run this race, to put our eyes on the one who left heaven's splendor to come and show us the way. There is a chorus, number 349 in our hymnals. It has wonderful verses, but we have just the chorus that says, "Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth, those encumbrances, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Turn your eyes onto the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, so that you may run the race with endurance, with faith, with joy, so that we may have the right foundation. So as we grow weary in this walk, I encourage us first to remember the long story of God's faithfulness to people of our story of long past and recent past and our past. To gain strength by focusing on Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And to rely on that foundation of faith that we are building constantly through our daily walk with Christ. There is no greater joy in our lives than the walk we have with Christ. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we sing our final hymn today, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross," number 301, our altar is open. If you would like to come and pray and ask that God and Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lead you to develop this right foundation and bring you into a life of deeper meaning and faith, the altar is open for prayer. If you'd like to begin the process of putting your faith roots here, our altar is open. Whatever you need, Christ stands ready to meet you at this altar as we stand and sing number 301, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross."